This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And a new week for the world is a step into a whole new world, possibly, for the nation of Iran. You could be listening there to the sounds of change in Iran. Reform candidate Hassan Rouhani stands atop a crowded field of candidates running for the Iranian presidency to replace Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. It was a surprise result in the elections, but is it a rebuke or even a challenge to religious authorities who hold the real power in Iran? If Rouhani gets the chance to enact his program of reform for the economy and modernization of the Iranian government, it could have serious implications for the region. Will Rouhani get the chance? Can his electoral mandate challenge the hold that those religious leaders have had on Iranian politics since the Islamic Revolution in 1979? Joining me now is Reza Marashi. He's a research director at the National Iranian American Council. Welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
So this is a surprise result, but there have been many attempts to put a reformer at the top of the sort of secular political leadership in Iran, and there hasn't been much in the way of reform. What do you make of this electoral result?
Well, I think Iranians went to the polls and voted overwhelmingly for hope and change. And they did so knowing full well that achieving the kinds of political, economic, and social changes that they seek will be a marathon and not a sprint. They also did so knowing full well that Mr. Rouhani himself is not a reformist. He's what generally would be called a centrist or a pragmatic conservative. And reformist politicians and centrist politicians in Iran, literally days before the election, made an alliance and threw their weight behind him in an effort to moderate Iranian policies, in their own words, and fight in their as what they described as extremism. So it remains to be seen how this will change or modify Iranian policies going forward, both foreign and domestic. But I think it's an important first step in the right direction. And in order to digest what exactly that means, you only need to juxtapose the reformist president, Mohammad Khatami, who was in power from 1997 to 2005, with Mr. Ahmadinejad, who I think his record speaks for itself.
Well, that's the interesting point, because Khatami was definitely a reformer, and his aggressive approach really stymied him ultimately when he went up against religious authorities. Ahmadinejad was a reaction to Khatami, the reformer, and it would appear at the very least that Rouhani's victory in this election is a chance to relegate to the dustbin of history Ahmadinejad's rhetoric and his approach to the region.
I certainly think that that's going to be one of the most important things going forward, knowing full well, both in Tehran and in Washington, that Mr. Ahmadinejad had become politically toxic. It was very difficult to advance a diplomatic process with somebody who had spewed the kind of rhetoric about Israel that he did. Now you have a new face, somebody who's smiling and blowing kisses to people that voted for him, and it doesn't mean that things are going to get better overnight, because diplomacy in and of itself is not about talking to your friends, it's about talking to your enemies. But by all accounts, and you need not take my word for it, you know, former European diplomats that negotiated with Mr. Rouhani when he was the chief nuclear negotiator in Iran have come out and said that he's tough but fair. He's a reasonable guy, and he's somebody that the West can and should do business with.
Well, on the main issues that the West seems to be concerned about, the support for Hezbollah in Syria, the nuclear program itself that, as you mentioned, Rouhani was one of the nuclear negotiators with the West on, and the face towards the United States and Israel, what are the chances that any of those four issues would change substantively over the next year or two?
That's a great question, John. I think that we need to temper our excitement and understand full well that while Mr. Rouhani is not going to be able to deliver things overnight, he also is not incapable of delivering. And what do I mean by that? If we go back in time to 2003, Iran's reform-minded government had put forward a proposal to discuss all issues of outstanding concern with the United States. It was rejected by the Bush administration. And there are reports coming from Tehran that a somewhat similar offer in 2005 from the United States to the Iranians was rebuffed. And I think now that both sides have missed opportunities, what Mr. Rouhani's presidency can do is it can sharpen the focus of decision makers in Washington to see whether or not they are willing and able to discuss these kinds of issues, whether it's support for terrorism, the nuclear program, or the broader issues of contention more generally, to try to find a peaceful solution to this crisis. This is the best opportunity that Washington has had since Barack Obama entered the White House, and it would be a massive missed opportunity if the opportunity was not seized.
All right, Hassan Rouhani, the leader in the presidential election in Iran, his slogan is "The people will be the owners of the country." We've been assessing whether that is in fact in the cards here with Reza Marashi, research director at the National Iranian American Council. Reza, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.